Please turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. That's a really beautiful one. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject "2006 Oil Crisis." I stopped because I saw little Haley there. She was a big girl last week. She had surgery, and she's doing good. She's in church with Grandma and Mom today. That's great. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. How many have got that? And then hold your finger there. Don't lose it, because that's where we're going to come to. And turn your Bible also to Exodus chapter 27. Exodus chapter 27, verse 20 and 21. And when you get that, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm glad to see each one of you today. Good to have our guest with us. Pray that you'll be blessed and want to come back. We're thrilled that you're here. Continue to pray for preacher's leg. The cortisone shot's in, but it's still the shockwave hasn't made it. This leg has really given me some problem. I don't know if what's going to happen. I missed the demolition derby. I'm surprised the rapture didn't happen. Brother Jim, I've lived here 16 years, and for like probably 15 years in a row, I've never missed a demolition derby on Tuesday night. Did they even have it this year? I didn't come. You mean they still didn't even. I'm glad they went ahead because I didn't come. And my leg just hurt me so much, bud. I even passed it up. Can you believe? That's when the preacher misses demolition derby, you know it's bad. But I think they ought to have another fair next week. In a couple weeks, I'll get my leg better so I can get that demolition derby. Amen. I hope they had a crummy one this year. It didn't rain this year on that fair. Man, that wasn't fair at all. Get it? You know? Moo. All righty. Glad you're here. I want to try to give you a thought of encouragement this morning and a challenge. I want to talk to you about 2006 oil crisis. Notice what it says in Exodus chapter 27 and verse 20 and 21. Genesis, second book in the Bible. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. They're called the Pentateuch. By the way, my Bible college will start September 19th, I think. It's in the bulletin. Whenever that Tuesday is, we'll be starting the Romans, second part of Romans. And so every Tuesday night for 2 hours, I'll be teaching you the book, the Bible, from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. All righty. Brother Archie, it's great seeing you today. God bless you. We sure love you, Arch. And notice verse 20. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons, of course, Aaron was the first high priest. It was a job for the priest. Aaron and his sons shall order it from the evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto the generations on behalf of the children of Israel. In other words, God wanted that light to burn all the time. The Lord never wanted his lamp to go out. The Lord never wanted his light to go out. Look at now 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. And it came to pass, by the way, it always does, doesn't it? I'm in 1 Samuel 3, 2. And it came to pass at that time when Eli, he was the high priest there, was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim. He was getting old. He wasn't seeing, and wasn't as on top of it as he was when he was younger. His eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, going blind. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, which God never wants the lamp to go out. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here am I." Heavenly Father, I really believe you put this in my heart to preach this morning. I can do nothing without you. Father, I pray with all my heart that you would put your hand on me. Holy Spirit of God, fill me from heaven. Help me to be a blessing. Help me to do the work of God. And Father, help me to do it well. Lord, use me for your honor and your glory. Thank you for 16 wonderful years that you've given me with these wonderful people. And Father, I pray you'll bless the coming years ahead. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Back in Samuel's day, the Bible says in verse 3, and ere the lamp of God went out. Now, they had an oil crisis because they didn't put the olive oil in the lamp, so it ran out of oil. They had an oil crisis. Can anyone say amen? And you know, the Lord wants His lamp, His light, to continually shine and continually burn in the temple of God. The Lord told His priests to continually fill the lamp with oil so the light would never be extinguished. You know, God never wants His light to be extinguished. You know, God always wants His light to shine bright so men in darkness can have a lighthouse to come to. Amen? Now today, in 2006, we don't worry about the oil for God. All the eyes of the world are on the oil from the ground that comes from the Persian Gulf, from Iran, from Saudi Arabia, from Iraq, and Argentina. Brother Roddy, the world's not so interested for the oil for the inside of man's soul. No, Brother Brian, man's more interested for the oil for inside a combustion engine. Can anyone say amen? Or oh me. Notice, in the past 3 years, oil prices have surged dramatically and drastically beyond comprehension. I charted some gas prices, oil prices. You know, even up to 2003, we were America was used to about $30 a barrel. Between $25 and $30 a barrel, that's what a barrel of oil would normally cost 3 years ago. But since 2003, oil has steadily went up. In 2004, it averaged almost $38 a barrel. Then in 2005, it averaged over $50 a barrel. And in 2006, it's averaging close to $70 a barrel. It's a lot of money, isn't it? I noted also that the price of the standard crude oil was under $25 a barrel in 2003, in September. But in August of 2005, the price was $60 a barrel. And it just keeps going up. During the Katrina, gas prices went over to $3 a gallon. My, My. What an oil crisis. Amen? The United States has the largest demand for oil. America uses 25% of the world's oil production. In other words, even though we're just part of the world, we use most of the oil. Hello? We use 25% of the world's total oil production. 40% of the world's gasoline production we use, with only about 5% of the total world population. In other words, we've only got 5% of the world population, but we're hogging all the oil. But we're not hogging it all anymore. Because we got China that's taking some now too. I want to note to you that we have an oil crisis in 2006. But this year, Saudi Arabia oil revenues hit record $203 billion. $203 billion, but we have an oil crisis. That's 25% more than last year's $162 billion of Saudi Arabia. Can anyone say amen or oh me? We have a crisis, but ExxonMobil made a record profit in 2005 of $36 billion. I'm not saying million, I'm talking billions. They said that in the final quarter of 2005, Exxon made $116 million every 24 hours. How would you like to make $116 million every day profit? Boy, little Eddie, we have got to pipe into that pipeline. Amen? Stay with me. Stay with me now. I'm not done. They say, what's going on, preacher? What's going on? Why so much trouble? Well, by the way, in July of 13th, last month, gas prices hit $78.40. And then a week after that, I think it hit $85. Iran, who wants to have their nuclear fling, if they continue to go on with their nuclear testing and putting up their bombs and threatening people, they're going to be put sanctions on them by the United States and other countries. And so they're going to put sanctions on not buying their oil. And by the way, Iran produces around 25% of the world's oil. Iran produces 25%. Hello? And when they shut the nozzle off over there, Brother Brian, they say prices might go over $100 a barrel. I'm telling you, we've got an oil crisis in 2006. Can anyone say amen? You see, there's some reasons for this. One reason is because they say gas is purchased in the dollar bills, American dollar bills. And the euro dollar is worth far more than the American dollar. For instance, like the euro dollar, I think it's around 127 versus American dollar. So you've got a euro dollar worth a quarter more or more than the American dollar. So we got to charge more for the gas because you've got to catch up with the euro dollar. Hello? Don't worry, they're working for a one world government. It's not far away. One world economy, one world cashless society. Keep your eye on it, it's coming. Then they say another big thing that's causing such a ruckus is the world tension with poor Israel and everything else over in the Middle East. They say the tension with the Middle East, that's raising up the prices because they don't know if they can get the gas out or not. I see they're trying to pump up a big hurricane coming up the Gulf pretty soon. The newscaster's been begging for something to happen. And now they finally got something heading towards the Gulf. And they said, we think it might hit New Orleans. Give us another Katrina. Are you still with the preacher? Of course, all those oil rigs out in the Gulf, see, anyone that, then that makes them have to shut them down. And then, boy, and other places, and all of a sudden, the gas short, and they got to keep raising the prices. Hello? Boy, there's an oil, in 2006, there's an oil crisis. By the way, it's a contrived, lest you would forget what the preacher's showing here in a few minutes, it's a contrived oil crisis. If you think that we have an oil crisis, a real one, we have a crisis with oil, that's the truth. But there's plenty of oil. They've just made this so they could take advantage of you and put us at our knees. Are you still with me? Don't give up on me. I'm going to hit something in just a few minutes here. They say another reason, preacher, is because China, which everything we have now is made in China, even our toothpaste. I mean, it's unreal. By the way, that's how come, and I like Walmart. It's my favorite store. I like Walmart. I want to be buried in Walmart so my wife and my kids would visit me every day of their life. Put me right there by the little horsey and they can say, hi, Papa, hi, Papa. Because Tammy's there every day. Dave, I got to go to Walmart. I got to go to Walmart. Rose said, hey, Rich, I got to go to Walmart. You need anything from Walmart? Yeah, I need not to go for the Walmart once in a while. They have the lowest prices because they almost everything they buy from China. You see, China now is probably one of the biggest, they're experiencing the greatest industrial nation that they've ever had in the history of China. China's manufacturing things like they've never manufactured ever in the history of China. The machines are rolling in China. People got cars and bikes in China. They need gasoline in China. And what they're saying, Brother Brian, Jimmy, they're saying, Bobby, the reason we have to charge you more for your gas in America because China now is taking a chunk out of it, Arlene, and China needs more gas. So it's kind of like the law of the supply and demand. And what they're saying is, see, China needs so much more than they never needed before because they were such a backward country. How many are with me yet? And by the way, they're just going to keep going up. That's where all your industry is being produced now. We produce hardly anything here. We're more of a service-oriented country now. Hello? But as China keeps growing, growing, growing with their billions of people, they're going to need more and more oil to fill that demand. And they're saying, what they're saying, Jimmy, is that all that oil that you used to get from us for 27 cents a gallon, those were the good old days. I remember, of course, you kids will never see this, but when preacher was a kid like you, Josh, I saw gas at 15 cents a gallon. And when I first married Rosie, I could buy it every day, Josh, for 24.9. I would get 4 gallons of gasoline for $1. XL. Right across from Rosie's dad on Summit Street. And we pumped it there, buddy, for four. It didn't even cost you a dollar for 4 gallons. Now you can't get 2 blinks of an eye for a dollar. Are you still with me? What I'm trying to say is, we've got an oil crisis. In 2006, there's an oil crisis, and we can put the blame where you want to put it. But I'm going to tell you, there's an oil crisis in America today. Listen to me now. I'm going to get to the crux of the message. But we in America, we are the blame because we've listened to the liberals and the environment wackos like Al Gore. Boy, you like that, don't you? We stopped digging for oil. You're going to get my thought here in just 1 minute here. I'm going to put it all together. We stopped digging for oil. We stopped searching for oil. Listen, we stopped feeling the need that we had to supply our own oil. By the way, we have bountiful resources of oil. America could be self-sufficient without any other country. We've got so much oil on the continent of America, we don't need Saudi Arabia's oil. We don't need Iraq's oil or Iran's oil or the Persian Gulf. We don't need none of that. And the clown from Argentina that closed down his Citgos, I'm glad he's gone. You don't love America? Get out. Why all your Citgos are closed. Because the fellow down in Argentina wanted to put it to America. America's done nothing but bless people with the financial bounty and blessings. And by the way, America's been blessed because God has blessed America. And the world has been blessed through America through God's blessings. And that's because America's preached the gospel and proclaimed the gospel of Christ and loved the people of Israel. I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. But to get onto my oil crisis, because we really have one in 2006. America, listen, America, boy, Bobby, if people believe them. Listen, if you believe that we don't have any oil in America, I want to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. Did you know, just in this little northeast Ohio, they call this little Texas? There's oil pumping underneath this church building right now. They've been coming by. They've come back. The guy came over the other day, and a couple of years, they had people signing, let's dig for the oil. There's oil all through this. There's oil everywhere here, man. Wow, preacher, you really went off. No, I want to tell you, America, if you just took the oil from Alaska, you could take care of America. They won't let you, they won't, off the Atlantic coast, going towards Cuba, China and Russia drilling right now. But our environmentalists won't let us drill about 15 miles away from that. Hello? There is so much oil in America. Listen, but if they produced the oil, they couldn't charge you all that money. And they couldn't make those record billions of dollars. Are you still with me? And not that, there's too much of a middle class. They want to destroy the middle class. They want everyone to be in poverty and then the rest for the few elite rich. Hello? Now you're getting into some other secret things I'm not going to talk about right now. But they're real. There's a lot of things, Bobby, that these people don't realize that's going on behind the scenes. And they're the ones really behind all this. We have an oil crisis in America. Because, listen to me, we have let our lamps go out. We have counted on other countries to supply our oil. Our eyes were closed to our personal need for oil. And ere the lamp went out. Yes, today, although it's been contrived, we in 2006... have a so-called oil crisis in America. And can I tell you something? It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. We might all be driving motorcycles pretty soon. They might not all be Harleys, but we'll be on motorcycles. Not me. I'm going to be on a two-wheeler. Amen. I've got to lose 100 pounds so I can ride a moped. Those guys get 50, 60 miles to a gallon. Amen. Stay with me. I'm going to make something out of this that's going to make a lot of sense to you. There is a, without a doubt, there's an oil crisis in America today. How many would say amen to that? But there's a far greater spiritual oil crisis in America that goes way beyond the pumps and the digging wells in Texas and all off the coastlines. Our spiritual pumps, lamps have went out in the churches. Our spiritual lamps have went out in the homes. They went out in the schools, and they went out in our government. I'm going to tell you, and sadly, they went out in our personal lives. There's more than a black crude oil crisis in America for just the outward oil. I'm going to tell you, there's a far greater need for the inward oil. The inward oil of God. There was a day when America was the light of the world. We produced more preachers than any country. More missionaries. Now they say, we can't even bring enough kids into college to replace the missionaries going off the foreign fields. We produce more Bible college, more Bible teachers, more church builders, more Sunday school teachers, more evangelists. All around the world, America was the producer of the light for God. Over 75 years ago, the oil in England's spiritual lamps went out. England's got all those big churches over there. They're big cathedrals. And they're big and cold. And there's nobody in them. Because about 100 years ago, England lost the oil of God. And the lamp of God went out in England. Let me tell you something. The lamp of God, the oil of God, is going out fast in America. There was a cry from God to Samuel. Samuel! Samuel! The oil of the lamp's going out! Samuel! Samuel! The oil of the lamp is going out! I don't want the oil of the lamp to go out, Samuel! Eli, who's been charged, he's blind now. He's not seeing what needs to be done. He's let it go. It's not being taken care of. Samuel, I'm seeing a darkness falling in the temple of God. Samuel, there's a darkness, and I don't want that to be the light to be extinguished. I want to keep the light burning. Samuel, there's need for oil in the lamp of God. Annie, I believe God tells me today, we need some Samuels. We need some Samuels today, Brother Roddy. They'll say, I will not let the light of God go out. I'm challenging you young people today. There's a need for the oil of God's lamps to stay on in America. America, spiritually, our lamps are dry, empty. We need some young people to say, I'll be a Samuel. Here am I, Lord. I'll not let the light of God go out. I'll do what I can to keep the light on for America. I'll not let the truth of God get out. We need some people in America to rise up and say, I'll be the Samuel to carry the lamp and the lights to the congregations of the churches in America. Listen, we Christians, we need to get fresh oil in America again. We need fresh oil. You ever notice those tankers? They fill those tankers up and they bring them and then they empty out. But then they have to go back. And they got to refill them. They got to get fresh oil. because their tastes go empty, and so they got to get fresh oil. You know, the Christians the same way. We need to keep refreshing the oil. We need to refreshing our tank for God. Can anyone say amen? Listen to me. We need that fresh oil of God. Psalms chapter 92 and verse 10, David said this, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Psalms 92:10. David the king said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. By the way, if you would turn to me, are you in Samuel? See, David was anointed twice. He was anointed with oil twice. If you look at 1 Samuel 16, you'll see the first time when Samuel came to him. 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. I'm going to tell you, the prophet Samuel came and anointed David with oil to do the work of God. I'm going to tell you, to do the work of God, you need oil. You need the oil of God. I'm going to tell you, not only is there in 2006, is there an oil crisis out there in Saudi Arabia for us Americans, but we have a spiritual oil crisis far greater than all the pumps and wells of all those pumping oil all over the globe of this earth. Listen to me. In 1 Samuel 16:13, David was anointed by Samuel with oil. Then when he became king, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 4, when he became king over Judah, again the men of Judah came and they anointed him king. They anointed him a second time. He was anointed again with fresh oil. That's what preachers need today in America. Preachers like myself. Preachers like in our church. Preachers all over America, Rod. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. We've had the old oil, but we need some fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. 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 Oil from God that would come down and move a man's soul. Move a man's heart. Move a man's feelings towards the things of God. And so when he preaches, people know that man knows God. Oh, that we have a fresh anointing. A fresh anointing. We preachers just so we got to spend a day or two out there in our land and that woods walk around saying, God, give me fresh oil. Give me fresh oil. Give me fresh oil. You listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. You want to build a great teen class? There's no youth director in the world will never build a great youth without fresh oil. Want to build a great church? Want to do great? Listen, there ain't a preacher in the world going to build a church without fresh oil. Care who you are. Not associate pastor. Listen, I thought about you teachers for the Christian school. Our Christian school is going to start in just a few weeks. I'm excited about it. I'm really excited. I'm so overwhelmed with the thought of our school going forward. But I'm going to tell you something. You teachers better listen to me today. Unless you get with God and you get some fresh oil on you, you say, oh, listen, you aren't going to teach those kids on your own. You've got a warfare. It's not more than the children. It's the power of darkness. And you're going to come here day after day after day, morning after morning after morning. And I'm going to tell you right now, unless you know God, unless you get with God and say, God, I got to have fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil so I can teach those kids with the power of God. Fresh oil so I have a loving spirit. Fresh oil so I have an understanding heart. I need teachers in the school and principals in the school. That's fresh oil, fresh oil. Need deacons that have fresh oil, a renewed heart, a renewed spirit, a renewed excitement. We need ushers with fresh oil. We need Sunday school teachers you want to build a class? You want to reach? Listen, you're never going to build a class unless you get fresh oil. I need some bus drivers and some bus workers and some bus captains and some children's food workers. Listen, you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it without this. You have got to. Listen, there's no way you're going to love the unlovely. I'm glad Jesus loved us. Jesus loved the unlovely. He was anointed with the spirit of gladness. Are you still with me? And there's no way you men that go every Sunday after Sunday, new lady, go Sunday after Sunday, picking those kids up, you're going to say, oh, it isn't worth it. But boy, you get fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, and God will come down and move your heart. And you'll say, I've got to keep doing it for God's sake, for love's sake. Soul winners. You'll never be a soul winner until you get that fresh oil. You see, we get it. But eventually our tank goes empty. And we need to refill. We can never let up an ABL program. You know what I'm talking about. It takes a special touch. They're coming and being touched. You know what I'm talking about, Danny. Those people are coming. They're not coming for a piece, for a dinner. Oh, that might catch them. But they're coming because they want someone to touch them and to love them and encourage them.
Unless we have that fresh oil from God, we'll lose out. And they'll lose out. Am I making any sense to anybody? That's what we need more than anything. We need fresh oil. Fresh oil. See, we need to understand something. The greatest need we have is oil. Not this black stuff in the ground. We need the oil from God. And see, we need to say, man, I'm going to get that oil. I don't care what it costs me, what I got to do. I'm not going to count on somebody else to give me that. I'm going to get it myself. God, I got to have it. I got to have it, God. I got to have it. You get a bunch of people in a church to say, God, I can't make it unless I get that fresh oil. You find the difference in the church. You'll see the church filled. You'll see people saved. You'll see anointing come down. You'll see things happen. The supernatural happens when we let the supernatural take hold. Can anyone say amen? Oh, there's an oil crisis in our church. We need fresh oil from the pastor on down. We need fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. Listen to me. I'm going to close out. I want you to turn to me. Listen to the scripture. It's a familiar scripture. Don't turn to it. I'll have you turn to Matthew 25. But let me quote you the scripture. You know the scripture. Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Are you with me? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now watch. 23:5 of Psalms. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. You see, to take out all the enemies and all the trials and the work of God, we got to have oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. You got to keep that tanker coming in, refilling, fresh oil. God, give me fresh oil for the day. Stuff you've got now, 35 years old, it's stale, it's out. Well, you need fresh oil. You wonder why you're so grumpy. You wonder why you don't care. You wonder why you've got a bad disposition. You don't have fresh oil. The oil of God brings a gladness. If you're here today and you never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm going to tell you there's a real shortage of oil for you today. I want you to look at me in Matthew chapter 25.
And I'm going to close with this verse. Chapter 25 of Matthew. I'm going to give you a truth. I'm going to read and give you a truth, and we're going to pray. You're not saved. Don't put it off. Jesus is coming back. Look up here. The oil in the Bible, kids, represents the Holy Spirit. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you get the Holy Spirit inside you. You're going to learn that in Romans, and especially in the book, in sanctification, we're set apart in Him. He comes in and indwells us. The Bible says in Romans 8:9, if any have not the Spirit of God, they're none of His. You better have the oil of God, or you're not a child of God. Are you still with me? Now look at Matthew 25. By the way, Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16 says, you're the light of the world. Let your light shine bright that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're the lamps of the world, the light. I wonder why our lights went so dim. You ever notice when the oil gets down, the brightness of the lamp goes dim. And when the oil goes depleted, the lamp goes out. When the lamp goes out, the light goes out. The reason why America is not shining bright today, because God's Christians don't have the oil in their lamps. We need that fresh oil. Lost person, Jesus is coming back soon. I don't know when, but He's coming back. If you're not saved, you're going to be left behind. The Bible says if you don't have Christ as your Savior, you're going to be left behind. He gives an illustration about oil and these virgins. Look at Matthew chapter 25 with me. Look at verse 1. And I'll just read it and then we'll close. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened. Now you're talking about heaven, what it's like. He always explains himself. 10 virgins which took their lamps. And went forth to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus. 5 of them were wise. 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. The foolish ones were the ones with no oil. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels. So the foolish people had no oil. The wise people had oil. Can I ask you, is there oil in your lamp today? While there's a great crisis, but I'm going to tell you, there's a bigger oil crisis in people's life today than over there in Saudi Arabia. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, there was a cry. There's a song called The Midnight Cry. At the midnight hour, the cry goes out. Midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil. You can't give it. Only God can give you the oil. He puts it in, He seals it in you. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us. They can't save you. But go rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. I'm glad Jesus purchased everything for us, aren't you? And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. He came, and they that were ready went in with him. If he come right now, are you ready? You that listen by way of the internet, you that hear me preach this message by way of the website, can I ask you a question? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet Christ? You that are in the congregation of Bethel Baptist Church this morning, are you ready?
Do you have oil in your lamp? Are you ready to meet Christ? He's coming. If when he comes, you better have that oil in your lamp. And he went into the marriage, and notice, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, when we were kids, we used to play hide and seek. Ready or not, here I come. Jesus is going to say that one day. Ready or not, here I come. You better be ready, because we don't know when he's going to come. He went in to the marriage, and they went in, and notice what that 10 says. And the door was shut. Just like God closed the door on the ark. Remember Noah and the ark? As long as that door was open, anybody and everybody could have came in freely into that ark. But they rejected. Once the flood came, God closed the door. And nobody could get in and nobody could get out. Notice what he says, and the door was shut. I hope God don't shut the door on you. If you're underneath my voice today, I hope God don't shut the door on you. If I was you, I'd get saved. Matter of fact, I'd be coming up here right now getting saved. I wouldn't wait till me get. I wouldn't. If I wasn't saved right now, I'd come up right now while I'm preaching. I'd be getting saved. What if he comes while I'm preaching? I'd be getting it. I'd be grabbing under the horns of God while I could get a hold of him. And after that, afterwards, they came also further saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." He said and answered, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Let me ask you something as we're closing here. Do you have oil in your lamp? Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you do, if you have trusted Christ, you've got the oil of God in you. But if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you never asked Christ to save your soul and come in and trust him, you don't have the oil in your lamp. Your lamp is empty. And you have a greater oil crisis in 2006 beyond what the papers can tell you. You better let the pages of God's Bible tell you there's an oil crisis in your life. You that are not saved, if I was you, I'd come and get saved right now. Say, "Oh God, give me that oil from heaven. Save my soul." Christian, there's an oil crisis. It's in our lives. It's in our churches. America, the lamps are going out in America because we Christians, we need fresh oil. We need to get fresh oil again. 2006, there really is an oil crisis. The sad part is, the Christians in the world think the oil crisis is at the gas pump. The oil crisis is at the heart. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize there's a worldly oil crisis. Father, there's a far greater oil crisis in America and throughout the world that people don't even realize. It's the oil of God's lamp. Lord, I pray with all my heart you'd convict us today. Give us a desire to want that fresh oil. Oh God, Bethel Baptist needs fresh oil. I need fresh oil. Oh God, there was days I used to beg you every time, day after, give me fresh oil. Oh God, I beg you today, give me fresh oil. There's still greater battles to fight, giants to take on. We need the fresh oil. Oh God, we'll never get it done without that fresh oil. Help my bus workers, help my teachers, help my deacons, help my preachers, help everyone, member of this church, help them to see that we need the fresh oil. Oh God, there's an oil crisis in our life. It's a crisis of oil, of God. We need the fresh oil of God. Then, Lord, for lost people, I pray they'll see themselves on their way to hell, lost and undone. Pray they'll also see a loving Savior that died for them, arose the third day, and can give them eternal life, home in heaven. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many Christians would say, Pastor, God spoke to me this morning while you were speaking. I need fresh oil. Pray for me. I need that fresh oil. I know you're telling me the truth. I know you're telling me the truth. I need that fresh oil. I need it. I need that fresh oil. I'll never make it. Yes. God bless you. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, God, come down and give us fresh oil. Oh, God, dove of heaven, come down and anoint this church on the 16th anniversary of my pastorate. We need to do a lot more. We're not doing it. Oh, God, come down and anoint me from above. Oh, dove of heaven, and not just me, but my people too. Oh, God, there's a lot to do yet. People are dying and going to hell. Bethel Baptist needs a fresh oil. We need the dove of heaven to come down and fall on this church. Fall on us individually, that we'd have an individual caring concern for the things of God, for the ways of God. How many would say, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm lost. I don't have the oil of God at all. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that today? Just raise your hand. I don't know if I die, I'd go to heaven. Just put it up, put it back down. I won't come, you won't, but I pray for you. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die without God. I don't want to die without the oil on my lamp. I don't want to have, when Jesus comes, to be left out and left behind, and God's door closed on me. The door of eternal life, heaven. Father, I did the best I could. Forgive me for my failures. God, impress upon our heart, we need fresh oil. Oh, God, sweep through America. God, give us a revival in America in our fundamental churches with the preachers. Oh, God, the Christians, let them see that we need fresh oil. We'll have to get fresh oil to save America. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. We'll stand. Maybe you'd like to come and pray today. You just come. Just come. Say, God, give me that fresh oil. That's right. Just come. God, I need that. Teach that Sunday school class. Run that bus route. Do that super church.